Berahino uses Pocagnoli. And it's Rondon! And finally they break down the 10 men, and it's Solomon Rondon who's done it!
And that was the decisive moment as West Brom beat Manchester United by 1-0. United with one shot on target. That actually came in just the third minute. And bottom right, the key moment, Juan Mata's two yellow cards becoming a red. United had to play for more than an hour with 10 men. They still had more of the ball. West Brom, the home side, with more touches in the opposition area.
Happy Mother's Day, Mum.
She will be proud. Her boy captaining West Brom to victory today. Rondon was the match winner in the game, man of the match as well, and he and his captain with Patrick Davison.
Guys, well done. A win over Manchester United here at the Hawthorns. First time in the Premier League era. Darren, how big an achievement is it?
First and foremost, it takes us to 39 points, and that's the target. One more away from 40, and then we'll look to keep going. Obviously, it's a record that I knew about before the game, and we were desperate to put it right. And I thought, to a man today, our team performance was fantastic all around the pitch, led by this man up front.
The game was obviously impacted by the sending off of Juan Mata. Two yellows, you were involved in both of them. How did you see it?
It's one of those, it was the rest of the decisions. I've tried to play a quick free kick and got blocked. And then I've tried to dribble out the defence and start a counter-attack and got tripped. So the referees made that decision. And I thought, if anything, I thought we looked a bit flat when they went down to 10 men, and I think we were really in the game at 11v11. I think we almost didn't know what to do when they sat back, and it affected us a little bit more. But obviously the advantage of the 11 men seeing us through in the end, and Solomon's got a fantastic winner.
Your sort of instinctive reaction, you seem to think, like, appeal to the ref, like they were yellows, both of them independently.
I just appeal because, yeah, you're in the spur of the moment in the game, and when somebody blocks a quick free kick, when you see a striker making a run, you're like, oh, ref. And when somebody trips you, you know, it's your automatic reaction. Not that you're looking to get anyone sent off, it's just the reaction to the incident.
Solomon, was that your biggest West Brom goal so far?
Oh, yeah, happy. I'm happy because we need this victory, and we need to keep working on the next game.
Are you now showing your best form for West Brom? You've had a good run of performances.
But I need working, I need make more goals, and I'm happy.
Darren, what's it like for you playing against them? First time with them away from home.
Yeah, it was great to come here because I know how special the Man United away fans are, and our fans made it a good atmosphere. And, you know, when you're playing against your old club, you're desperate to win. It's no different to any other game, and, you know, I had a great time there, but my focus is fully on West Brom now, and you go back to supporting United a little bit and hope they go on and achieve great success. But, you know, my first focus is West Brom, but I'm always looking for Manchester United to do well. I hope they pick themselves up from this and go on and finish in top four. And going on to Solomon, definitely showing his best form now. Recently he's been on fire. He's been, you know, working hard up front with little service and doing a great job for the team. And now we're getting better service to him. We're showing what a top-class striker he is, and he's scoring great goals, and I think he's been a great signing.
What about your form? You're playing every game for West Brom. How much are you enjoying being so important to them?
I just enjoy playing football and the challenge of winning a game at the weekend, you know, training all weekend, going out there and pitting yourself against an opposition, a fellow midfielder, and doing everything I can to help the team. And I'm enjoying my football. Great bunch of lads working under a manager who's very demanding, who I enjoy playing under, and I'm really happy at the club. And I want us to keep pushing up the league. And, you know, obviously we set that goal for 40 points. Can we beat last season's target of 44? Can we push that magic 50 that West Brom have never had before? And let's keep pushing forward.
Well, look, Solomon is the Barclays Man of the Match. Last job for you, Darren. Present the award.
Congratulations. Well deserved.
Thank you.
Different class.
Thank you.
We'll talk about the Man of the Match in a moment. James, you were smiling throughout that interview, most of the game as well. And I imagine down there your manager will be absolutely loving that, won't he? Finally, a Premier League win here against Manchester United. And his favourite scoreline as well.
1-0, yeah, I called it. we talked about Rondon at the start of the game. He's been in five form. And, you know, his goal came from a great cross from the substitute, who I thought changed the game. He got past the lines of Manchester United, and it was a great finish.
And how important is the partnership now? It seems West Brom fans have always wanted these two to play together, Rondon and Berahino. It's now 10 games they've started together, 9 goals. It's working.
Certainly is, yeah, by them stats. You know, they both can score goals, and, you know, I'm a big believer in goals can win you matches and push up the league, and that's what it's doing now. And now we've got to try and beat our record of 46 points. That's the target. Keep pushing on.
And for the manager, just going back to that formation, is that his preference now, the 4-4-2 with those two up top? Is that what he's been wanting to play all season?
Yeah, with Saido obviously drops back in and makes it difficult for the opposition. And then when we break, he gets forward and gets in the box and he gets chances, he'll put them away.
As he said in the tunnel, James, talking about Rondon, he talked about the pace and the power, how he was coming good. What did you make of his performance up top?
I mean, Darren Fletcher was saying that he doesn't have, I mean, he said little service. I would say sometimes none. He has to run into the channel. I was looking at him and I'm like, wow, he can run. And all that ball, I said it to James, I was like, it's incredible the amount of running that he does. Sometimes I think West Brom could have kept the ball and tried to tire Man United, but no, they were working that man and he was every time going to get that ball, holding it and fighting for it. I mean, he was just, for me, great today. He's holding that ball, he was a constant threat, looking, trying to deliver across. He was moving every single time. And like I said before, I would have lost it as a centre forward in all fairness.
What Jamie Carragher would have handled it.
No, I would have lost it because, you know, he's chasing every single thing. And at times, I thought that West Brom could have kept the ball, you know, to make sure that he can breathe a bit.
To be honest, I think it was a great battle between him and Smalling. It's one of those sometimes, because we've given Rondon man of the match, doesn't mean Smalling hasn't played well. I think they both played well. Probably if you're looking at Manchester United player, I think Smalling was the best player for Manchester United. It was a great battle between the two. That first touch was fantastic, and you know, the finish, and as he said at the interview, there isn't much service. That's if you play for West Brom as a centre forward, a lot of your game is about working off the ball and when the other side have got the ball, rather than just thinking how many chances I'm going to get, because they don't create many chances. They're not set up the way the midfield's set up. We spoke about having four centre backs. That's how Tony Pulis keeps West Brom in the Premier League, but it's not conducive to a striker getting 15-20 goals. But when you get your chance, you've got to put it away, and that's what he's done today.
Tony Pulis has beaten Manchester United for just the second time. I imagine he enjoyed that. He's with Patrick Davison.
Tony, big result against a big club. What's your take on it?
Well, the 3 points and, you know, them going down to 10 men obviously affected the game. We watched Liverpool before this game and Liverpool went down to 10 men and then they were losing 1-0, ended up winning the game 2-1. So, you know, you never, ever, ever comfortable against top teams with pace up front, and that's what they've got. They've got good pace. So it was lovely to get the goal, and once we got the goal, we settled down, and it was quite good from then on.
Juan Mata sent off for two yellows, both clear for you?
Well, I'll see him again, but like I say, it certainly changes the game when a player of that quality is sent off.
For a time, did it affect your team as well as theirs?
Well, second half, first 10 minutes, quarter of an hour, second half, when we came out, we were definitely off the pace of it. But like I say, Solomon's goal was, you know, smashing finish. He's a great lad. He works his socks off, but he's got good ability. And next year, I think, you know, it has taken him time to settle in, and he's had ups and downs. But, you know, they love him to death here because of the work rate that he does and everything else. And he's such a, you know, a wonderful kid. So lovely to see him score and win us the game, really.
How important has that partnership between him and Saido Berahino been towards this recent good run you've had?
Well, you know, at the start of the season, you know, before all the nonsense started with Saido, you know, I was looking forward to those two playing together and having a season together. But that has not happened. But since Saido's come back in, and the two of them have looked really lively together, and we look a threat.
After the low of that cup defeat to Reading, how much has the mood been lifted by this recent run? Because you said before the game, it's the most difficult club you've managed, but has that changed maybe in the last few weeks?
It's very difficult to manage clubs at the bottom half of the Premiership. And so let me put that straight. And you know, like I say, you never rest, you never relax. You know, you're always pushing and driving people on. But when you've got pros like Fletcher around, you know, he's an absolutely fantastic lad, great person to work with. And, you know, he gives everything on the pitch and he drives them on for me on there. And, you know, there ain't many of his type around anymore.
Talking of Darren Fletcher, he says the target's now 50 points.
Yeah, well, at times he can talk a load of nonsense. The most important thing is the next game and getting a performance out of us the next game, and then we'll take every game as it comes. It's such a tough league, and as you've seen this year, you know, the results have been, you know, absolutely off the radar.
Would you still not say safe now? 15 points clear, I think, is about great.
Yeah, let's get 40 points. I think 40 points is definitely safe. I when you look at the clubs down there, you know, it's amazing, really. A club the size of Villa, Sunderland, Newcastle, you know, Norwich, who have come up as well, and the clubs around them. You know, it just shows how tough and how hard this league is, and especially for clubs of our ilk. You know, the like I say, you don't rest. You keep driving them on and driving them on and driving them on. And that's what you have to do. Thank you, Tony. No problems. Thank you.
So, James, 50 points. Is it mentioned?
Well, it is mentioned by Darren, isn't it? But
manager says that's nonsense.
Yeah. Why not think positive? Why can't we keep this run going? We've got some great games coming up here, coming off the back of two wins at home. You know, let's push on. And let's
break that points record of 49.
Yeah, I'll get that one right. why not? Let's break it. Let's think positive again and keep moving forward and let's push the club forward.
And where can that be pushed forward to? I mean, what can this club do? Should it be getting away from these relegation scraps that it has been in the past, which you've been part of? And could it be a club challenging for Europe?
Yes, certainly got to think that way. It's no point sticking the same places, is there? We've got to push forward and then in the summer rebuild. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of new faces coming in and going. So that's up to the board and the manager and look forward to it.
And speaking of new faces, it seems there's constant speculation about the manager who, again, has done an incredible job. He's a master at it, it seems. And you know about this speculation, from a player's point of view. And as a player, is that something you just want sorted and out the way as quickly as possible?
No, not really. I think you just concentrate on your job ahead. And when that time comes at the end of the season, you worry about it then. And you can't really affect it, so just concentrate on your job.
Let's hear from his opposite number today. Disappointment for Louis van Gaal with Patrick Davison.
Louis, it's obviously a disappointment. What are your views on the things you've seen?
Yeah, we have played 60 minutes with 10 against 11, and this is the fifth match in 14 days, I believe. So it is very difficult to play against 11 players. I think that's the reason that we lost this game, because we didn't give much chances away, not in the first half, not in the second half, when we play with 10 players. The only chance was more or less the goal. So, what can I say? It is a big pity that we have to play with 10 against 11.
What are your views on why you had to play with 10 men, the decisions, the two yellow cards for one matter?
Yeah, you can see it with your video. You can see the first yellow card. I think that was a stupid yellow card, because you know in advance that it is a yellow card, but the second, yeah. You know that you have a second, or you know that you have already one yellow card, so you have to take into account that you are always with the second. It's difficult, and you damage the benefit of your team. But I think a referee has to know also the person who makes the tackle. And Juan Mata never hurts an opponent. I ask him also how many red cards you have already had. None. It is the first. So,
but can the referee factor in the fact that Juan Mata's never been sent off? Is that relevant?
No, it is not relevant. But you have to know also all the characters of the players, I think. And that's why an experienced referee is always better, because he knows the players better, he knows the game better, and so on. And I think always you take that into account.
You've touched on it already, but both yellow cards, both decisions by Mata, unlike him.
Yeah, but you want to talk only about Mata, or
well,
about
said
the game?
But you've said yourself it's been a big factor in deciding this match.
Yeah, it's always. When you have to play 10 against 11 for 60 minutes, it's more difficult.
How big a setback is this in terms of your top four ambitions?
Yes, a big blow. It's a big blow because these kind of matches you have to win.
What do you need from here on in? 9 games to go.
27 points.
A lot.
It's a lot. But it is always possible.
Thank you.
Okay.
Particularly in this crazy season. Same question to you, Thierry. How big a setback is today for their ambitions this season?
It is a massive setback. As you can see, he's pretty annoyed about the sending off of Juan Mata. And Jamie talked about the goal they conceded. It's not because you were down to 10 men. They could have defended that goal a bit better. They had a lot of possession. I think they were arriving on a high. But they're still in the mix, if I can say. They're still... You know, they played a lot of games. That was always going to be difficult here. You know, it is a bit of a blow, but they're still in the mix.
Did people get carried away with the 4 straight wins, turning corners, etc. with Manchester United?
Yes and no. I mean, it was they needed a big lift at that time. There was talk of the manager's job, and I mean, the young players coming in made a big difference. I think whenever young players in, I think the crowd are a bit more patient then. I think you saw that with Manchester United. I think today... The sending off does have a massive factor, whether we like it or not, and maybe Manchester United could have done more going forward. But Manchester United have been criticised this season for playing slowly at times. But West Brom are the type of team, because they have so many men behind the ball, it's okay saying you want to play quick, but they force you to sort of keep the ball and go sideways because they're such a tight unit. The centre forwards are on your central midfield play, so it's very difficult to ever get up that pace in your play against West Brom as soon as you go down to 10 men. You listen to Tony Pulis's interview, he was talking about Liverpool actually meant to win the game with 10 men, so you're probably in the back of his mind, he's fearing Manchester United would do that to West Brom. So he still never really opened up. We were maybe criticising West Brom at half-time, why haven't they made a change, and it took, you know, a while into the second half to make the change at full-back, because he was still fearing that. So he still set up like Manchester United had 11 men, really. So it was always going to be difficult for them to get that goal to go and win the game, but... Same as I've said with Liverpool, I don't think this one result is that big. I mean, if you've got 3 cup ties coming now, if that doesn't go well for them, that's when it will turn back again.
But one of the key things also is you lose Juan Mata, the guy that makes things happen. If you compare it to Liverpool, Coutinho came in the game at that particular moment, so he settles things down. I thought that was also very important.
And before you go, James, I'm going to put you on the spot, because we're finding it impossible to predict what's happening this season. You've played all these teams now. Who do you think is the best? Who's going to win the Premier League title?
I don't know who's the best, but I think Leicester are going to win it. I think with the team spirit, the goals in the sides, I fancy them. I really do.
It'd be a great story as well, wouldn't it? If they were to do it.
It'd be good for the Premier League, another team coming into the top 6 in the Champions League. More money for Leicester and, you know, challenge again next season.
And does it also give... Every team, really, West Broms and others, hope. If Leicester, look, this took them last year where they were, to go and do that, anyone
does,
could do
it. Why not? Why can't we do it? Have that belief.
Back on next
year. Why not?
Why not?
You never know.
It can happen. I think if you said that about Leicester, you know. But like I said before about goals, you know, Jamie Vardy this season, you know, 19 already, you know, it does help.
And what about you personally? Contract up in the summer, isn't it? Priority, get back playing as soon as possible, get another one.
The lad said don't mention that as well before I came back. Well, hopefully...
You'd be talking.
Hopefully soon. The boots are back on at the moment, running. So hopefully not too long.
Thanks for coming in and joining us today. Enjoyed your company.
Cheers for that.
Thank you. Good luck. Let's see you back soon.
Christian, first real day, man down, goal down, to come back and win it. What sort of performance is that?
It was, I think, an incredible performance from all of us, especially after the red card. I think we stepped up and we showed our skills and our character, and I think it's a deserved win today.
I'm pretty happy today. Of course, it's well deserved. We played after this intensive time we had against a well-rested team, really good. We were not clear enough in the first half, especially, and we conceded a goal after second, third, fifth ball after set play. So we didn't do too well. First half, we started really good, but we forgot to shoot on the goal. Yeah, and then again, we had to strike back and with 10 players, so, and that was brilliant.
Christian, was it a penalty?
To be sure, I think it touched me. Otherwise, I don't go down. And I think the referee is knows better than us, and he took the right decision.
I don't think it's a penalty. You know, I just quickly saw it then, and I thought he's, you know, gone down softly. But you know, you got to stay on your feet when you're around the box like that.
It was a penalty. Bad luck, unlucky situation for the defender, but he hit with the knee. His foot, though. That's how it is. Clear penalty. Otherwise, Christian Matejka is in a very good position to shoot. Yeah, 2-1. Perfect day.
So he was happy. The perfect day for Jurgen Klopp. It was the penalty that the big talking point, though. Alan Pardew not happy. This is what he had to say to Jeff Shreves.
Alan, massively disappointing. What are your thoughts?
Feel like we've been robbed a little bit. But again, maybe we shot ourselves in the foot as well at times when we went down to 10 men. We should have pushed on a little bit more and kept the ball better. That's how I feel.
In a strange way, did it not suit you for them to go down to 10th, the way you were set up?
I don't know. We didn't kind of get any pressure and get any passes in at that stage. That was the disappointing thing for that. Up until that period, we were good and deserved to be in front. The goalie mistake is costly. And it puts us, makes us edgy. And that edginess carried us through to the end, really. We couldn't get out of that mode.
What about the penalty itself?
Well, I've heard the comments. I think it's wrong, really. Jamie Carragher saying that's a penalty, in my opinion, because he's looking for it. Our player is pulled out of it. And if the linesman's called it for that knee touch on the foot in the last seconds of the game, when he's pulling out of it, I think that's harsh. There's no one in the middle. There's nothing going on there. And you interview him after and all that. I think it's wrong.
Damien Delaney
shouldn't go to ground. Shouldn't go to ground. And I think he knows that. And he pulls out of it. He literally pulls out of it. And it's the follow-through of his knee that catches him on the bottom of the foot. And if you give a penalty for that in the last seconds, blimey, that's a bit tough.
I'm sure it is tough to take. Devil's advocate, if the player feels the contact, does he make it a penalty?
Well, he certainly made it, you know, he made it a big meal of it, in my opinion. If it had been us, we wouldn't have got it.
That's a strong statement.
Well, we don't. We've had penalties all year with Wilf and not got on. And I'm frustrated because, you know, literally, I thought, see the referee. He looked at it, he weren't giving it. He knew. And the linesman thought it was contact before that. He didn't actually think it was the knee. He thought it was contact before that. I know that. And I think that's... you know, we're talking about the penalty decision here. Let's just talk about the game. This is a game we should have come away with something and we didn't. We made... our subs were not very good. I pointed my finger at myself. We move on.
Why weren't they very good?
Let's not get into a debate here. Are you trying to antagonise me? I'm frustrated because I've lost, right?
Yeah.
And I think the penalty is tough.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to say. And I think you should accept that and let me go back to do the press elsewhere.
No, I understand that. I wouldn't be disrespectful to Alan. What I'm saying...
No, I was a little bit. But no, you know, let's just get on with it.
And I was interested. When you said our subs weren't very good, I was just...
No, they didn't affect the game, which was disappointing from my point of view because I put them on. So I want to take my responsibility as well. That's all the point I'm trying to make. But I don't want to get into a debate about this penalty situation with you. That's my opinion. Accept it and forget it and let's move on.
I understand. We have moved on from that. How disappointing, though, that the run continues?
Well, it is because, you know, for an hour we were great. And as I say, we got a bit edgy, correct, because we haven't won for a while. But of course, I'm frustrated. I wanted us to win today. I wanted my players to win. I'm gutted for them. More so than anybody else here, even for myself and anyone, I'm gutted for them.
Well, we appreciate you talking to us and appreciate your honesty.
Thank you.
A very upset Alan Pardew. Does he have a case here, Jamie, when he talks about it being harsh, the penalty, tough at the timing of it, in the sense that it wasn't clear-cut?
Listen, I can understand Alan Pardew. It's easy for me to sit here and give my opinion of he's emotionally involved and it's come the last minute on a bad run. I don't think the timing has got anything to do with it, either a penalty or not. He obviously sees it differently to me. I don't actually think there's that much of a debate, to be honest, about the penalty. As soon as I saw it, I thought it was a penalty. And listen, what we're actually saying here is, forget the official's decision. Has Christian Benteke gone down 2 years or bought a penalty or cheated in some way? If you look at that, the initial tackle, look, he's staying on his feet. And the thing that I think, if you look at that angle, is he's actually almost past Delaney as the contact happens, and he's not sort of leaving a leg in. I think he thinks he's going to go past
him. Assistant saying there he tripped him.
So maybe that is an argument that Alan Pardew just mentioned there, where if the ref, the linesman's actually give it for the first one, well, obviously he's wrong because there was no contact there. But Benteke didn't go down then. And Benteke's almost past him, and behind him he gets clipped. He gets clipped. See, I think he's gone past him. He's not leaving a leg in, he's just running. And he slides and takes the back of his heel. Now, is it the biggest contact you've ever seen for a penalty? No, but it's not. People are saying he could have stayed on his feet. One, why should he? And number two, he's come sliding in. It's not like he stood Delaney and he stuck a foot out and he's gone over. He's actually sliding along the floor. So as he's missed the first one, he comes sliding and his momentum goes into the back of his ankle. And I don't even think it's a debate, really. Well, it is a debate, obviously, because Alan Pardew and maybe a few others, Palace players, don't feel it's a penalty. But I think it's a blatant penalty. He'd be very disappointed if they had one at the other end and never wasn't given.
What do you think?
I don't think it's a blatant penalty. I think it is a penalty. It's one of those where if you Liverpool, they call for it and you see all the Liverpool players claiming and hoping that it was going to be a pen. And obviously, if you're Palace and you see it, you're like, it's a harsh one. I think it is a penalty. Blatant, I don't know. I think Benteke felt it and obviously he went down. But I always say, don't commit, stay on your feet in the box. Because your momentum will carry you and take you against that man, and you're going to touch him, and why does he have to stay up? I don't understand. He went down, and it's a penalty. What? Yes, it is a harsh one if you're on the Palace side, but on the Liverpool side, you're happy about it, and there is
because,
definitely
because
a touch.
Was saying he was trying to pull out of this tackle.
Well, he did, but you're sliding.
Yeah, but it's too late to pull him out. Forget the first tackle. It's his momentum that the penalty comes from. But I want to pick on something you just said then, Thierry. It's not blatant or it's a... But then you say, it's a penalty. A penalty is a penalty, isn't it?
No, I know. But sometimes you have the blatant one when the guy takes the guy.
That's what I'm talking about.
I'm talking about the one where if it's given, you can't really complain. And I think that's the one like that. You think it's blatant?
Listen, it's not... He's talking about the neck and it's a penalty. But
that's the one I'm talking about when I say blatant.
I don't understand what the...
There's no argument. I agree with that one with you.
I don't think
it's given, you can't argue it. That's why I agree with you, yeah.
The debate will continue. Any debate over James Milner's red card?
No.
This is one of the ones you were referring to earlier, wasn't it? It's usually the second one when you're thinking, no argument.
Yeah, I mean, it's similar to what mattered in that. When James Milner goes for that challenge, it was different what mattered did, but that's the type of challenge that you know you're going to get a yellow card. And the matter one trying to block a free kick, you know you're going to get a yellow card. So to then do this, I think that's more worse than matters. Because I think matters actually trying to pull out on the second one. He realises he's made a mistake. But to go to ground on a yellow card, two of the yellows, absolutely stupid. And from a player of that experience. Yeah. And again, like Mata, something you don't associate with James Milner doing, Mata doing, you can't quite work out what's gone through there.
Especially
heads.
Where it is. I don't know why he did that. You still have men behind the ball. If it was going clean through on goal, you can understand that the guy takes another yellow for the team. But there was no need to do what he did. And actually, that sparked Liverpool's game, in all fairness, straight after that.
You're not wrong. Have a look at this graphic, which shows you what happened before and after that red card. As you say, Thierry, it sparked them into life, really. With 11 men, 62 minutes they played. They were behind, just 9 shots, none on target at all. Possession 62%, it wasn't that much less with 10, but look how much more effective it was with 10 shots, 5 on target. It confuses me, why?
Well, I think, obviously Liverpool improved, of course he did. I think you made a great point before about the substitutions Jurgen Klopp made in terms of Coutinho coming on, Flanagan going off, reorganising the team. But I think it's as much to do with Crystal Palace. And it was something we were thinking about when we were talking through the game today. West Brom and Crystal Palace both had similar tactics today. 11v11, we're going to sit back, even though we're the home team, and try and play counter-attack. As soon as the opposition goes to 10 men, it's a different game. Now, Alan Pardew was saying we should have got on the ball a bit more, and that's what you should be doing. But once you've got it, maybe you've worked all week, how you've set up, what we're going to do to stop Liverpool, the game completely changes then, and the onus is on you to keep the ball, be more dominant, maybe try and go and get that second goal. Now, maybe they were caught in between. It sounds like with the substitutions Alan Pardew made and his feeling of how the game was going, he wanted Palace to be more on the front foot, more possession. Maybe the players were a bit, as I said, stuck in the middle and weren't quite sure. And listen, you have to give massive credit to Liverpool. They're absolutely brilliant from 10 men. I think before that, very average. I'm probably being kind there, to be honest. But the way they performed with 10 men, and we always talk about the character, but it's the quality that they showed as well to get those goals. It was fantastic.
Listen, Crystal Palace set up skipping that pressure, playing long under the Bayo, and they did frustrate Liverpool for a little while. But Alan Pardew mentioned it himself. How come they didn't take control of that ball playing against 10 men? How come they didn't play better? Why they were so scared to be on the ball? They started to sit a little too deep for my liking, and I guess for his liking, that's why he put those two guys on. But then that's when Liverpool started to play, be composed, continue on the ball, and they were coming and more, shooting, they hit the post, they were crossing the ball inside, and still no reaction from Palace. And here we are debating about the penalty and the sending off, which is for me the most important thing there. And Alan Pardew said it himself, how come they didn't deal with that situation at all?
And it was 10 minutes after that sending off where they got the first goal. Firmino yes. got it with some help from the goalkeeper.
Well, a lot of help from the goalkeeper. But look, that man on the ball, and I know it's not a lot, but he was willing to pass that ball forward. We all know what happened after. Great first touch. And I love the fact that he keeps his composure in front of the goal. Freezes the goalkeeper, like I like to say. Control there. He knows he can beat the last defender there. He knows that already. He doesn't panic. Now it's me and you. 1-1.
And Coutinho's a man you talked a lot about. How important is this guy, Firmino, to this Liverpool side? How important is he becoming?
I will give him the benefit of the doubt because he just arrived. He just arrived and you need to settle and things changed during the season. New manager, it's not always easy. But he's starting to show some sign of he can be that guy. Is he Suarez? At the moment, he's not Suarez, but he might be. Is he the guy that's going to make Liverpool win a title? I don't know. But he's doing extremely well. And if he can build a partnership with Coutinho, who knows?
It's a strange one, watching him, really. I mean, initially, I think you're right. He found it difficult. Where was he going to play? Where was he going to fit in the team? But these last couple of months, you know, since the turn of the year, I think we look now, his involvement. And you look at that, and you see the company he's with, and you're talking about, can he get to sort of Suarez? I think it's very difficult for anyone to do that. But if you look at the company he's in there, in Aguero and Costa, two of the top strikers we've seen really over the last couple of years, in this country. He's obviously sort of coming into his own now, but when I say it's strange when I watch him play, I don't ever watch a sort of 90-minute game and think he was outstanding today or see lots of great things in the game, but he's getting goals and assists, so you can't really argue with his input, really. And how many times we speak about players and say they're great on the eye, but there's no end product. We were speaking about Adam Lallana before the game, and he's probably the flip side of him. You see Adam Lallana do nice things between the boxes, and he'll bring a ball down lovely, maybe nice interplay, nice football. But you don't really see that as much from Firmino, but he's actually getting in the danger, he's scoring goals, he's creating goals. And I think where he played today is where he's going to have to play for Liverpool. At times he's played as the lone forward. I don't think that really suits him because he lacks a bit of pace. But behind a striker, whether that be Sturridge when he comes back fully fit, if you get a second striker getting those goals and assists, and your real centre forward at the top, your number nine scoring as well, you've got a great partnership.
And when you look at the top of the table now and see Liverpool's situation with everything that's going on, they've obviously got some other big games coming up as well. They're seventh, 3 points behind Manchester United, 6 points off that top four. Is that a possibility now?
A slight possibility. The big outsiders, of course, they are to get that spot. But you look at West Ham, the form there on City. The thing with City is you're always expecting to beat everyone at home, really. You've done it again the weekend. Can you trust them away from home? Liverpool saw that at Anfield midweek. Of course, they need other teams to drop points. And Liverpool have been very inconsistent. I think it's the first time they've won, I think, three on the bounce, I think, for 12 months. And they'd have to go on a similar run towards the end of the season, win maybe six or seven games out of the 89, whatever they've got left, if they want to do that. And the inconsistency they've shown this season, I think they're probably too tough for them. You may just miss out.
One team we haven't mentioned, we were talking about the title earlier on, we were talking about the top four as well, and we didn't really mention West Ham. Where do they fit in?
It does suit them because it seems like it's working for them. They keep on getting wins that people don't expect them to win. At Everton yesterday, it looked like they lost that game, and maybe back in the days they would never have come back, but Dimitri Payet was the master of all of that yesterday again, once again, how many times he did it this season. But they ended up winning the game. And again, there is another team, not only Tottenham, but West Ham do believe that they can make the top four, and why not? They're going to have to play Arsenal at their place and a lot of difficult game at their place, and we all know how difficult it is to beat them at Upton Park. So nobody's talking about
United them. United as well, to add to the mix.
Yes, exactly. Nobody's talking about them, but they're doing an amazing job.
And the mentality we talked about earlier with Leicester, sitting pretty at the top, 9 games to go, and you were talking about it's a great feeling and so on. Does the mentality change as it gets closer and closer? With 5 games to go, you surely start to think about it more, what you could achieve.
I think I mentioned it before. There is a calmness about that group. They are calm. They know what they have to do. They're driven. They're committed. When they go on the field, they have a plan. They stick to it. And we saw also that when it's not working, Ranieri will change stuff at half time. That's a sign of a great manager too. He doesn't wait in the last 20 minutes, in the last 10 minutes, when his team suddenly is 1-0 down. Oh, when am I going to meet it? I need to change something. He did it at 0-0, away from home, and it worked. So I sense that, like you said, Jamie, before, it's for them to lose it now, really.
It's brilliantly set up. Gentlemen, thank you for your company this afternoon.